This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Danny Hall, baseball coach at Georgia Tech, will join us here momentarily. Brian Ives is safe to come out and participate, so he's going to join us later this hour as well. Of course, we were streaming live on the ESPN app, not to mention SiriusXM Channel 371, and you got us good to go. So, Wes Durham, it's the Power Hour. We bring out the big guns, man.
That's right. We start with Danny Hall, longtime baseball coach at Georgia Tech. Jackets are off to a great start. Coach Hall joins us from Atlanta. Congratulations. I know it ails a guy from Coolville, Ohio, to sweep Ohio State last weekend, right?
Yeah, and a guy that probably coached at the old school up north a little bit, too, at the University of Michigan. But, you know, I'm glad we played well, glad we won. And, you know, I think Ohio State's going to be very good. They have a good team, and they really have outstanding pitching.
Coach, your boys are hitting the baseball, man. I'm telling you, you guys are scoring at an alarming rate, which is a beautiful thing. What's the story with the hot bats this early in February?
Well, I think, you know, we have some young guys. We've been playing 3 and 4 freshmen just about every time we play. And those guys, which sometimes can't count on, have gotten off to really good starts and gotten contributions from a lot of guys. We had a couple guys get off to a slow start, and then all of a sudden they got hot. And then we have Michael Goldberg, who we call him the machine. I don't know if he hasn't struck out yet on the year. I probably jinxed him, but, you know, he has just been a really, really good player now, 2 years running for us. So just different guys, you know, hot at the right time, and we need him to stay hot.
Well, you mentioned younger guys, but Goldberg, and then I'm going to go Radcliffe and some of these older guys that have been in the program a couple of years. I got to believe, too, a little bit of their leadership combined with maybe the innocence of the freshmen. Is it kind of working your way?
I think so. You know, we've got 4 guys that hit, you know, 1 through 4 in the order, and Waddell, Hall, Goldberg, and Radcliffe. Those guys have played a lot of baseball, certainly in the ACC and in college baseball, and they kind of set the tone for everybody, you know, and I think those younger guys kind of feed off of them, and it's been a good thing to certainly watch. Got 2 older guys kind of, you know, Jackson Webb hit 7-hole, and then Austin Wilhite, who's been a 4-year starter, we have him in the 9-hole, and he hit a home run on, you know, on Tuesday night. So, you know, feel like we have a good blend of young and old. And you know, it's been good just to watch those guys kind of work together.
All right, let's go back to the Hall kid here for a minute, Pack. You want to talk about the Hall kid? Because I'm always concerned. We had to deal with this with, you know, Buddy Boeheim. Now, how's it – let's be honest now. This is just second of your boys that you've coached, right? I mean, Carter played for you. Now I think working, what, for the Blue Jays? Is that right?
He is. He's okay. Down in Dunedin in a kind of player development role with the Blue Jays and having a great time.
All right. Now, Boeheim tells us the most important thing about coaching Buddy is his mom.
Always.
How's that going for you? How's it coaching Colin? Cause he's in the lineup every day. I know you and Colin are fine. How's it go when you get to the house and talk to, as our friend says, the War Department?
The War Department definitely rules all. And, Boeheim is 100% right on that, the person you got to deal with the most on coaching him is mama. And, there's some difficult questions sometimes, whether it's, you know, why isn't he doing this or why isn't he doing that? And it might even be as much as, you know, well, why isn't his picture on here? You know, so it's all things that you have to answer to when you get home.
Coach, remember, she's right.
100%. Undefeated. She's never lost a game.
Yeah, you can give me all this breakdown and all that stuff. I'm just sitting here nodding going, hey, you know what? You're not fooling anybody. She's watching this going, excuse me, I'm 100% on this.
That's
one.
It, yeah.
Catch you later. You had a great recruiting class, 17 freshmen participating in this thing. Hey, it's all about players, but what about this class that kind of stands alone right now versus some of the others you've had in the past?
This is a really good class, and it's a balanced class. You know, we talked a lot earlier about our position players, but we're going to pitch a freshman on Sunday, Zach Maxwell. We've had contributions from a lot of our other freshmen. in the pitching department, and we needed him. That was probably the biggest turnover on our team last year, is all three weekend starters are gone. So we've, you know, leaned on these freshmen to kind of get up to speed early, and the biggest test is coming, playing the University of Georgia this weekend, a three-game series. You know, I think we'll find out a lot about our team. It's a great litmus test right before we start conference play.
Danny, what is it about this series? Scott Strickland obviously played for you at Kent, and you guys have known each other for a long, long time. The decision, you've typically played three times, but you haven't played in consecutive days. You guys have moved it to, what, Friday in Athens, Saturday in Atlanta, Sunday up at the AAA ballpark in Lawrenceville. How did that come about, and really, are you looking forward to it? Is it a good time to do it?
I think everybody's looking forward to it. You know, you always take a chance doing it this early with weather, and you know, it looks like, even though it might be a little cold this weekend, that the weather's going to cooperate. But I think as a competitor, you're always wanting to go head to head. I'll be honest, we've kind of watched what Clemson and South Carolina has done with their series, and seems to draw a lot of interest in the state of South Carolina. So we wanted to do that here in the state of Georgia, just draw a lot of interest to college baseball. And, you know, probably the only negative, in this whole deal, we were hoping to be able to play in SunTrust. And I think with, Sunday looking like it's going to be 60 degrees here, I believe we would have really had a lot of people, pour into SunTrust. But, they had an event there in December. They couldn't get their field ready to go. So, Gwinnett and Coolray Field, the Braves AAA ballpark, they are willing hosts, and we certainly look forward to going there. And I know as of yesterday, they had sold close to 9,000 tickets. I fully expect that to be a sellout. So I think it's going to be a great game, not only for our players and coaches, but it'll be a great game for the fans, our alumni. They look forward to all games when Georgia and Georgia Tech play. So I think it's something we wanted to try and just go head to head. And as I said earlier, I think it's just, it's great preparation playing a great opponent, which happens to be your arch rival in the state, right before you go into conference play.
You mentioned, that freshman pitcher, Zach Maxwell, he gets drafted by the New York Yankees out of high school and says, you know what? I think I'm going to go get an education, pitch for Georgia Tech. Not many people already want to know against the Yankees, coach. Good job on that, because that, as you mentioned, that kid can toss it now.
Yeah, he has a really good arm. He's done a great job in his first two starts. And not only did we get Maxwell, but I decided to go get the Yankees pitching coordinator to be his pitching coach. So, you know, I don't know if that was part of the deal to get Maxwell to school, but we're excited to have Danny Burrell in here as our pitching coach. And he's already added a lot to our staff, and former Wake Forest Demon Deacon. I'm just glad I don't have to try to get him out. Even though he was a pitcher in pro ball, he was also an outstanding hitter in our conference.
Danny, I want to ask you real quick. We talked to Scott Satterfield about this earlier in the show. This one-time, no-cost, no-hassle transfer. Where does baseball stand with this? Because you guys have kind of been dealing with a lot of things for a long, long time, and it gets lost in the – and you understand this, it gets lost in the news of football and basketball. And I've known you long enough to know that you guys have seen a lot of this stuff before it gets to be a bigger story. So where do you think baseball is with the one-time transfer and the opportunity it presents, and what are the pros and cons in your mind?
Well, we used to have it, you know, back in the day. We had that one-time transfer exception, and I honestly thought it was a good rule. So it was a case where if the coach and the player were kind of mutually agreed to let the kid transfer and be eligible right away, I kind of felt like it was a good rule. But our APR scores in baseball at that time were not good. I think you probably had some poaching going on where the Power Fives or what have you were taking players from mid-majors and kind of recruiting them. So it was probably more of the APR score, so many kids in baseball transferring, that at that time they felt like, okay, we're going to stop the transfer. We're going to give you the same rule that basketball, football, and I think hockey has. So for me, I am probably for it, because we have so many kids that are on very small scholarships. We have to have 8 walk-on players every year that are on no scholarship to get to our 35-man roster. So if one of those kids feels like, hey, I'm not really going to get an opportunity to play at Georgia Tech and he can transfer someplace else and get an opportunity, I'm probably for it. But I think, you know, we have to maybe exercise a little caution and what are we really signing off on here to get ourselves into it. But, you know, I think, I'll just say this. You look at the national championship in football last year and I think 3 of the 4 quarterbacks had transferred to a different school. So that's pretty alarming to me, quite honestly, that, 3 of the 4 teams had quarterbacks that didn't start at the school they were playing for.
Coach, I would be remiss if I don't ask you this question before we let you get ready for Georgia. But are we ready for the Joey Bart San Francisco Giants?
Oh, geez, here we go.
When's the last time you talked to Joey?
So I saw him right before he went to camp, but my son Carter was his roommate, so I usually get about a daily update on Joey Bart, and I'm hoping that he gets that opportunity sometime this year, and I know you probably want it immediately coming out of spring training, but you know they have a way of kind of holding those guys down for a month or so, so if that salary doesn't kick in to where they're a super two. But he's a great player. I know he worked extremely hard to prepare himself, and I fully expect that he's ready to certainly go up and contribute in San Francisco.
Is that good enough, Pac?
Yeah, I was still kind of hoping for, we're going to move Posey to first base, Florida State, and then we're going to put Bart behind it, catcher, and go beat L.A. That's what I was really kind of hoping to get.
It's all about beating L.A.
But
now,
that's,
Danny. That's
for now, really I know it's still early. It's only February, so I'm going to have to go with that, Coach. Yeah. I appreciate the insight.
I like where your head's at.
Yeah, he's still recovering from the fact that Madison Bumgarner might have been in rodeos under an assumed name when he was pitching for his team. So anyway,
that's a whole separate story.
Hey, Danny, good luck against the Dogs this weekend. Appreciate everything, and look forward to catching up with you as the season unfolds.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. You guys have a great day.
All right, Danny Hall, head baseball coach at Georgia Tech. Interesting answer on the transfer.
I'm glad you asked him because this is the problem, right? It's really not so much a problem, an opportunity that everybody's coming at this at a different angle. Football may be completely different than baseball. We've heard that already today on the show for crying out loud. This is going to have to be addressed, man. So you know what's going to happen. I think at DuPont, once the NCAA, once you had the Big Ten and the ACC jump on board, and now the NCAA is going fast forward as fast as they can, I think it's inevitable it's going to happen.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Brian Ives will be coming up here in about 15 minutes or so, give or
take.
We're
sure he's showing up.
Yeah. Things are good. North Carolina won. He's ready to roll.
Yeah, it's been a tough winter for Brian.
It's been difficult, needless to say. All right, today's show has been interesting because we've obviously gotten all kinds of games and all that stuff, which we always do, but the one-time transfer rule is still a hot-button topic. And Dabo Swinney yesterday at practice had his comments regarding the one-time transfer rule and his position moving forward.
I don't like whatever's been proposed. I don't think that's good. I don't think it's good for the player. I don't think it's good for college football. But you know, I do think there need to be some change. I think that there some of the rules were archaic and things like that. And, you know, nobody called me and asked me, but you know, if I could go poof, you know, for me, I think that you know, first of all, there didn't need to be restrictions. Guys should be able to go wherever they want to go. That's an archaic thing, and I believe that. And I also think that if you're a graduate, you should be able to go where you want to go. And you know, and that's the case as it is. And I also think another change should be if the coach leaves, if your head coach leaves or is fired, you should be able to transfer if you want. I believe that. But other than that, I think if you transfer, you sit. Simple as that. And then if you graduate, you get that year back. So you really don't lose anything. But at least there would be, it would slow down what's going to happen. And what's kind of going on now with the graduates is going to go to the freshmen. You're going to go to the mid-years. You're going to go to the sophomores. And that's not good for college football. And it's not good for the players. But, you know, that to me, I think would clean it up and cut out some of the hypocrisy of it, too. You know, people say, oh, your coach is going to leave and all this and that. Well, you know, if your coach leaves and the coach is fired, then you should be able to go. I think that is very fair. Or you're a graduate. But other than that, I think you should have to sit.
You go from Danny Hall from a baseball perspective. There's Dabo Swinney from another football perspective. And even earlier today on the show, we had another perspective from Scott Satterfield.
Well, let's hear what Sat had to say, too. It's along the lines of Dabo, but remember this, he also coached in Group of Five and FCS as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of it. I think, you know, for a lot of reasons, really. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of tentacles that will come off of this if this gets passed, which, you know, it's looking like that it's probably going to, that's going to happen at some point. I think there's too many bad things that can happen to it. You know, we're in a world now, society where, you know, you think about Little League, you know, Johnny comes out, he doesn't play on this team right here where they'll move Johnny to the other team on the other side of town and see if he can play right here. I don't want that to happen in college football, and I think that's where we're going to end up heading. I think back last year when I took the job at Louisville, and you think about some of the players we had at App State. I mean, we were the third youngest team in the country at App State. Don't you think some of those guys could have came to Louisville and played if we had this one-time transfer rule? You know, so now you're going to hurt the school that I just left from, because those kids would want to come with me, and they're certainly good enough to come play for us here at Louisville. You know, how many of those guys would have wanted to come, and how many of the guys would we have taken? I mean, there's a lot of things that I don't think has been thought about. I do agree with the fact of what we're doing now with the grad transfers. I think if you graduate, you've earned the right to go anywhere, to go play anywhere. And, you know, because you've finished your obligation, you got your degree. I think the one thing that needs to obviously be in the forefront is why you're going to college, you know, is to get your degree. And I think that's the one thing we always have to look at and decide is that's going to hurt guys if they transfer and how they're going to get back in their classes. I mean, all those type things as well.
What are you thinking now?
Well, I told you what my concern is, that the Group of Five and lesser teams,
FCS,
I think this rule really needs to be thought out, because I just think the Group of Five schools in football in particular and the smaller schools, if you run across a big time player that was overlooked by one of the big boys and all of a sudden he is developed even as a sophomore, see ya, catch ya. And Satterfield kind of basically said the same thing. I mean, there's no doubt the talent he had at Appalachian State could have absolutely helped him in year one at Louisville. And if you think that's the only case scenario, you are sadly mistaken.
Well,
a bunch of players everywhere.
I'm going to tell you, we've heard from two different coaches now in sports. We've heard from Dabo Swinney, Scott Satterfield, and Danny Hall, a baseball coach, right? At some point, we're going to mix in a basketball coach. At some point, we're going to mix in a volleyball coach. We're going to mix in a variety of different people, and you're going to hear a variety of different answers. That's the problem we're going to have to solve here in this process. And I'm not sure it's a solvable one at this point.
Well, you just cannot keep everyone happy when you start to, and this is not just an ACC thing. This is a nationwide
exactly.
NCAA thing. So
and that's why I don't fault what Thomas Marsh said last week on the podcast with Stuart Mandel about the leverage that student athletes have now, it's remarkable. I mean, you heard Danny Hall express concern about APR.
Right.
We haven't even accounted for APR in this.
Yeah, we're just
nobody's telling me how the APR is going to work. Nobody's telling me how this is going to work with coaching contracts and all these elements. I mean, remember the transfer portal last year and everybody at the spring meetings?
How about this year?
Well, the transfer portal this year too, but last year – nobody understood the ramifications of the process.
Well, Justin Fuente did, because he was being affected by it more than anybody else.
And Scott Satterfield were the two biggest.
Well, I still remember when we sat down with Justin Fuente at Amelia Island at the ACC, and we could have gone for a day, I think, with Coach, because he was just ready to talk about it and basically saying, hey, listen, we got to do something here. What we got lined up here, this is not going to work. So it's going to be interesting to see where that goes, Wes. And again, there's so many elements to this that it's just not a – I don't think this is a one-fit deal. Here's the other issue I have too. And this is where you got to be really smart ahead of the game. If this is decided that, hey, this is the rule, everybody's abiding by it, if it turns out after we do this for a couple of years
right,
and it's a humongous problem, can you put the genie back in the bottle?
Ooh.
Once the student athlete has a taste – of power per se, the ability to make that decision and no harm, no foul. You want to get up and move. If it turns out that it wasn't thought out, how do you get it back?
I'm not sure you do.
And I don't think you can.
I don't either.
So that's why it is incredibly imperative that the movers and shakers with this bill really think about it. And when Scott Satterfield is talking about the tentacles, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, if all of a sudden this becomes the wild, wild west and people are going left and right, and schools and programs mm-hmm. really suffer on the smaller side, hey, man, that kid wants to play at the highest level.
Yeah,
and I'm with you. I think that's something to really, you better pay attention. You can't just, you know, say, oh, yeah, it's good for everybody. We're good. I mean, you got to give this one some thought.
Robin the Duke fan, before we go to break, Pack.
Hey, guys. Hey, Wes, how the heck are you, Pack? Feel you praying today about 11 o'clock, brother. Maybe they won't have a room set up in the Dodger, Los Angeles Dodgers theme room like they had me set up one time in a Carolina room.
Well, I tell you what, there's a plenty of, you know, in this state, you can find some great yeah. doctors coming out of the triangle. So I hope you at least behaved before they put a hurting on you.
That wake room would probably be more important today for you, wouldn't it?
I knew you had to throw something in there about that, Wes. Hey, Wes and guys, I did. Hey, Tuesday went up there, treated my daddy to the weight game. Unfortunately, it came out as a loss. Ran yeah. into Katie George and had a picture made with my daddy and her. She was she's a very talented and a sweet young lady. I don't know how she does on them heels 3 or 4 hours a night, but she tell you what. My daddy was absolutely impressed, so I just put it like that. But
She's the coveted guys, invite.
She's the coveted invite, Robin. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And she's a real nice lady. I sure did enjoy talking to her.
Classy lady.
Hey, guys. I hate the way the game come out there Wednesday night. Tuesday night. But I tell you what, it's like it's been about 4 or 5 games this year. I know Coach K probably knows this, and you guys probably know this too, but the early games for Duke to go in the tournament are short, to be there not as long as to get beat, you know. They got to cut down on turnovers and game ball management towards the end of games. And Coach K said that in the press conference after the game against Wednesday. He said, hey, he said the whole several times this year, they practice on it at the beginning of the games, that where they started off slow, they just kind of, you know, I guess it's when you have a young team, but I tell you, my opinion, guys, if they don't get something done about handling the ball a little better, it'll be a short time, and I might not be able to see my Blue Devils. I'm going to Atlanta, but if they don't do something about that, it might be a, you know, short tournament for them.
Robin, yep. When's the last time you saw a Duke team watch the other team shoot 53 throws?
Ooh.
I believe it was against a Carolina game about 4 or 5 years ago. How'd that turn out? I mean, come on, back. 55.
I don't know. It depends. Was Tyler Hansbrough playing in it?
yeah.
I'm just asking.
Oh, man. Hey, Robin, have a great week, my man. Be well. I'm glad your dad got a chance to go up there and meet Katie George.
Yeah, hey, I sure did enjoy it. I always enjoy talking to you guys. And y'all take it easy, okay?
Yes, sir. All talk right, to Robin. You soon. Robin the Duke fan.
The Mighty Blue Devils.
Mighty Blue Devils, yeah. Turn the ball over. A little ball, game ball management.
You can't be mad. You met Katie George.
Yeah, I mean,
if you gotten beat by 40, you can got back.
By the way, his dad's birthday and Billy's on the same day.
That's correct. But, you know, had you gotten beat by 40, you still have a smile on your face. You meet Katie George.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
How you doing?
And in life.
How you doing? How you doing?
Not great.
Not good. You know who's doing better this week?
Yes, our man Brian Ives.
ACC Network.
Has come producer. Out from under the rock.
Producer extraordinaire, stats and research extraordinaire, Brian Ives. Very excited about Greensboro and the ACC Women's and Men's Basketball Championships. And after the Tar Heels got a win this week, we felt it was important we check on him. Because you and I will say this to you, Mr. Ives, You and Packer and I have been a little concerned about you here during this little seven-game skid that Coach Roy and the Tar Heels were on.
Well, I mean, nothing a padded room can't solve. You just they just stuck me in there. They put me in there after the first NC State game, and I came out before the last one, and I just assumed everything went well in between. How'd it go?
Well, I tell you what. The people who are your friends and colleagues, right, Pac?
A lot of the Bristol folks.
A lot of the people who are your friends and colleagues have been concerned about you in recent weeks, the last seven games, right, Pac?
Actually, longer than that.
Yeah, maybe longer than that. And they've seen some of your social media activity. So we wanted to kind of let you know, they wanted to let you know they've been thinking about you. So this is from your friends at the ACC Network.
Apologize to everybody, everybody, everybody. We're going to freaking compete.
Rebound, slapped out. Goldwire chases it down to Jones with three, an off-balance jump shot. No, four with the stick back, and the horn is good. Duke comes back not once but twice to beat Carolina. Sprint option near side.
Oh, what does this got to do with
it? Clips it to Newsom.
Tackle.
He leaps for the goal line. Clemson makes the stop.
To do with it.
Not once, but twice.
Poor Mack, he doesn't deserve this.
Oh, wait, good grief.
Freshman for North Carolina.
What?
And the Cardinal are the queens of college soccer once again.
Pfluger with the rebound. Not to Leshefsky. Leshefsky for three. Got it! Wow! The gods have shined on Notre Dame.
It doesn't feel good for us. It doesn't feel good at all. And I'd say that right now, this is my lowest
point. Amir Sims, too,
Ives? Losing this team.
What have you done to these people?
He kept his dribble. Why you're helping, I don't know. Why you're leaving your feet, I don't know.
I don't know why they put that in there.
There's not a lot for me to say, guys. How about you guys just asking some questions?
I think we're out of time.
I'll answer whatever you got.
Is this segment over yet?
There we go. So they're now just colleagues. They're not friends. Is this how
I would say when your friends want to do that for you, I would wonder who your friends are. Wouldn't you, Pac?
Hey, if it makes you feel any good, Brian, you know, they've been playing drill bits in my ear all day after having to go see the dentist in the next hour and change.
Ooh.
So, you know, again, consider the source of where all that came from.
Brian, let's seriously now, as a longtime Carolina fan, it's been a hard winter for you.
Sure.
And a lot of people have shared in your misery here. Now, a lot of people have poked fun at your misery, but a lot of people have shared in your misery. What have you learned from this?
I get the making fun. Carolina's been very fortunate over the past decades.
Lucky. Some would say lucky.
Lucky. Kent, they would say unlucky this year, though.
That's correct.
It's hard to say it's one of those years because those years don't come around a lot. I think it's just a perfect snowball of a lot of things. The injuries, the execution late game, there is a relative to their standards, a lack of talent, especially on the wings, with this team. So I think it's been a perfect snowball. No one has to sugarcoat it. This team's not very good, but, you know, they'll still plop out some moments. And the games are exciting. If you're a neutral fan, they're always thrilling and exciting. So at least they provide that.
Better days are ahead. It won't stay like this forever, Mr. Ives. Roy and the boys will be back next year, I guarantee it.
Yes. Women's lacrosse school,
that's
as
it.
Usual.
Yes. All right. Field hockey.
I have one question. Based on what you've seen in the body of work in the ACC, I have offered Notre Dame as a dark horse for the tournament in Greensboro.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to offer a dark horse? I mean, from your position in research and features and production, what do you see in ACC basketball that you would share with us at this point?
I really see six teams that I think are probably amongst the 68 best in the country. But, of course, you have to be amongst the at-large bids if you don't win the tournament. That would include the top four and Notre Dame and, yes, NC State. Mm-hmm. I would, of those, taking out the top four, I would agree. I think Notre Dame is the team that could make a run for no other reason than they can get hot shooting. And that's the great equalizer. They can put five guys on the floor that can make threes. And they're going to, if they miss, John Mooney oftentimes gets the rebound. I think that's NC State's problem. You've actually seen that against North Carolina a couple times. They struggle to defend the offensive boards. Garrison Brooks ate them up early in the first half in that game. And even when Carolina took out, if you notice the last 10 minutes, they took out Baycott and, and put in Justin Pierce. Justin Pierce was getting a decent amount of rebounds and tip outs. So Notre Dame would be my team that if they could make a run, or if I see a team making a run, that would be my pick. But I would be very surprised if one of those top four teams did not win the ACC tournament, just because I do think there is a significant gap. But if there was a team, Notre Dame.
I tend to agree with that. All right, let's move forward to this week. I know we got ladies action tonight, important games. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go men first. Duke, you know, listen, the Wake Forest game, they're probably looking around going, all right, we got to get our act together again, but you better hurry, because right now Virginia is playing their best basketball of the year. But Duke, for the most part, has had Tony Bennett's number here recently. But what do you think, Duke, Virginia on Saturday?
Yeah, this is a great opportunity for Virginia. And we've said that a lot when they go up against Duke in recent years. Virginia's run of greatness, or run is probably not the best word to use to describe Virginia, but their stretch of greatness started 7 years ago. They've won 100 ACC games in that span, regular season, 99-18 against teams not named Duke. 1-6 against Duke. That's regular season. That does not count, I think, the 2014 ACC championship game that Virginia won. But they've struggled immensely against Duke, and you wonder why. It's because Duke doesn't have any issues with their defense. Maybe it's the athletes and the quality of player Duke has, which is certainly another level from any other team in ACC. But Duke shooting close to 40% from three. They're averaging almost 70 points a game against Virginia in that span, and other teams are averaging 55 a game and shooting 30% from three. You remember last year, the game at Cameron was incredible, but then the game at JPJ, Duke went bananas from three. It's the game's remembered for Zion flying across the court and blocking DeAndre Hunter, but Duke was on fire from three, and last year, if that Duke team made threes, they were tough to beat. So it's just different. Yeah, there it is. Tony Bennett has just dominated everybody. 118 after last night's win over Virginia Tech, 1-6 against Duke. So, for whatever reason, Duke has their number. But if Virginia can win on Saturday, they're actually, ahead of Duke in the standings. They'd bump Duke down to fourth and Virginia would be up to third with still a chance to win another regular season title. So, Bennett's done a remarkable job. They're shooting close to 40% from three over the last nine games. He's been great.
Brian, I want to ask you two things. One, I want to go – Pack and I earlier today debated – not debated, kind of. We looked at list of guys to take big shots, you know, when the lights are the brightest. I had MJ Walker on the list from Florida State. He had Devin Vassell. What is it about Vassell? Do you think he and Trent Forrest – are a lot of people thinking he and Trent Forrest are going to split first-team votes for all ACC, but Vassell has a really important piece to Leonard Hamilton's plan this year.
Yeah, Devin Vassell, Florida State has been on the road this year. They're 6-4. They've won by an average of 3 points per game. But this guy, Devin Vassell, has been, why I would give him the edge is because he goes on the road and he gets it done for Florida State. 16 points per game on the road. He shoots 57% from three on the road. That is second, I believe, in the entire country, second or third in the country. And that's the thing. If you were going to be a top-tier player, you got to get it done whether you're playing at home, whether you're playing on the road, whether you're playing in the Dome in the Final Four, wherever you go. And Devin Vassell has done that for the Seminoles this year, which is why if I was a voter, which I am absolutely not a voter, Devin Vassell would get my nod as the Florida State guy representative on first-team All-ACC.
All right. We need to talk about the ladies because it's ladies' night tonight, and Louisville obviously is in a great spot as the one spot. But why is that such an important deal when we start talking about next week's ACC women's tournament?
Yeah, usually like, 1-2 seed. You know, they're both really good. They'll probably make the finals, toss up after there. Not in the ACC women's basketball tournament. 24 times has the one seed won the ACC women's tournament. All other seeds, 18. This includes seven straight won by the women's number one seed. That includes Louisville a couple years ago. Notre Dame certainly recently has been dominant. Think about the Duke teams with their own Elena Beard, Ivory Latta's North Carolina teams. Those one seeds have dominated this tournament. So that's why it was so critical for Louisville to nab that win at NC State a couple weeks ago, and then the Wolfpack have faltered a bit to give Louisville that spot. So I think if Louisville did not take home this ACC Women's Tournament title, it would be a little bit of a surprise. They still have a one seed to play for, so nationally in the NCAA tournament. So a lot still at stake for the Cardinals.
By the way, the hottest team on the ladies' card here in the last, 3 weeks is Duke. Joanne P. McCallie's done a phenomenal job. Of course, Haley Gorecki is fantastic, but their team has really, really come along since early January.
Yeah, if people haven't checked out Haley Gorecki, I would. I'm not saying she is this, but she's maybe the ACC's Sabrina Ionescu. She does everything. She rebounds, she assists, she shoots, she scores. And she might be a little late for her to win ACC Player of the Year. Dana Evans at Louisville might have that on lock. But watch Haley and watch Duke. This team's coming. They're the hottest team in men's or women's ACC basketball. And a couple weeks ago, they weren't even on the bubble.
Right.
And now they're comfortably in, moving 7-6 seed, moving on up. So they're definitely a team to keep an eye on.
And the battle for the 3 and 4 seed in the tournament, I mean, we've got some great races coming down the stretch here. There's big games going on tonight, which are going to have a huge impact. Duke, Virginia Tech, for example, is exactly what I'm talking about. And you want that double bye, man. If you can pull it off, take it.
Yeah, and what you don't want to do is be playing on the first day, on Tuesday or Wednesday, which some of our teams might be playing on.
All right. Mr. Ives, you're a good sport. I would have your own personal words with your friends is up to you the rest of the afternoon.
We have a meeting at noon. I'll see them there.
Best of luck and good seeing you again.
Hey, good seeing you. We look forward to catching you up in Greensboro. What? We'll
see
you next week and then the week after, right?
Yep, I'll see you then.
All right. Brian Ives, one of our outstanding colleagues here at ACC Network. I think he's still our friend.
We had nothing to do with it.
We didn't have anything to do with it. Those were all his friends.
Yeah.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a very, very quick show. It's always fast when you know what awaits at 11.
Look, you're going to be fine.
I'll be great.
It's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. We got some sad news here in the last half hour. Gene Frenette of the Jacksonville Times-Union, you know, longtime columnist in that area on the first coast down in the Jacksonville St. Aug area, has confirmed this morning that high school football legend Corky Rogers has passed away. And passed away a couple days ago, actually. His family confirmed it last night to Gene Frenette. Corky Rogers is a name you probably don't know outside, but if you're in the state of Florida, this might be the finest football coach in the history of high school football in the state of Florida. He went 465, 84, and 1 at Robert E. Lee from 1972 to 1988, and then from 1989 to 2016, he coached at the Bowles School in Jacksonville. Leroy Butler, Riley Skinner, a bunch of guys. And Corky Rogers played at Georgia Tech for Bobby Dodd, by the way, and then got into coaching and is an unbelievable high school coach. He's in the all-century team in the state of Florida. He won 11 Florida state championships. I don't know what else to tell you. Most wins and state titles in Florida history. Just an amazing, amazing guy. And, by the way, also had a Baseball Hall of Famer as his quarterback one time. This guy, Chipper Jones, quarterbacked at the Bowles School.
How about that?
So Leroy Butler, Riley Skinner, among other ACC notable players, all played for the great Corky Rogers, who himself played for Bobby Dodd at Georgia Tech. And, he passes away, yesterday, it is, in Jacksonville.
Thoughts and prayers to everyone affected.
Yep. So, a note there for our ACC brethren, especially in the Sunshine State. Women's basketball tonight.
Full slate.
Two games we told you about here on the network starting at 6 o'clock from Louisville, and then we'll send you to Raleigh. There is a full schedule on the ACC calendar tonight. We're winding down the regular season now, Pac, and here's a look at the complete list of games. Duke at Virginia Tech. We just talked about Joanne McCallie's team, Kenny Brooks and the Hokies as well. There's a lot up for grabs here tonight.
Well, Duke's 11-5 in the league standings. Virginia Tech's 10-6. Certainly, again, the seeds 3 and mm-hmm. 4. That's what everybody's fighting for right here. That's a big game. BC Louisville is a big game. I'll tell you what, Eagles are hot. Louisville is the king. Yep. Gotta go catch them, right? And Syracuse NC State. Cuse is 9-7. Wolfpack 12-4. There's about 5 or 6 teams looking for 2 spots through this race here. We'll conclude by the weekend.
How about what Brian said about being the top seed, though, at the tournament?
Domination.
Is that unbelievable?
24 ACC tournament wins for the number one seed. That is why it is a big deal to be on top. And right now, Jeff Walls and Louisville Cards, that's where you can find them.
Haven't heard much from the Lumberjacks today. That's getting ready to change. You want to explain this?
It's a long story made short. Here in the basement,
mm-hmm.
In the afternoon, I do SiriusXM Radio off campus on 84, Channel 84. That studio, that radio studio, is literally the desk, which right you can't there. See, which is right over here.
It's right over there.
All right, and above the desk are we have television monitors that we can see what we're doing here during the show.
Right,
but during the day, during the night, whether I'm in here or not, there are behind-the-scenes shots of things going on of other shows on the ESPN platform. So sometimes I'll just come down here with the dogs and put my feet up and just kind of watch stuff going on behind the scenes. It's really kind of fun. But during the radio show, there is a show called Jorge Ramos y su Banda and his band.
That's on ESPN
Deportes.
Deportes. Okay.
And it is on the screens when I'm in here doing the radio show. Well, the other day, during a break, I just happened to look up, and again, there's got a 70-inch screen over my head here, and I see a picture of this guy, right here. And I said, I can't believe it. That's Josh Macri. What's he doing in Madrid? What's he doing in Barcelona? What's he doing in Mexico City?
I thought Josh Macri was a nutcracker.
Yeah, and so this is our man, part of the Lumberjacks. And I looked up and I said, I sent a text to the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we have found Josh Macri's evil twin. I've got Angel Cabrera and Macri now. There it is, our boy to the left. Now, that is not ESPN Deportes.
What's my man's name on Deportes?
It's not his name. Ramos.
Yeah, it's Moises something.
Senor.
Yeah, it's like Moises Llorens.
All right, Drew, is that can we split screen this?
Time out. Are you going to accept that?
No,
because you think my French
accept
is bad.
What?
What was that? That was the worst Spanish.
Hold on, you're the guy
ever.
Sitting down. You're the guy sitting down there saying Barcelona. If I was really Moises, I'd know it's Barcelona.
Okay.
Barcelona.
Okay.
By the way,
all right.
That is totally your evil twin.
It is.
It is. Drew, that's so good. That's much better than the Nutcracker at the Holiday, didn't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really impressive. Josh does a great job for this show, but it's amazing that he's able to travel back and forth from Bristol to Spain every day to be on the Jorge Ramos show.
And I even did a little research. The way you say lumberjack in Spanish, leñador.
There you go. That was good.
Leñador.
That was a good one, huh?
Leñador. Much better.
Now do French and Portuguese.
Pac does the French.
I have French.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to be doing in about 1 hour and 6 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Pac, you're okay with the camera crew showing up with you today, right?
Yeah,
we booked a camera crew.
No problem. By the way, I sent many shots of this guy. I'm surprised that's the one you used, but that's okay.
What looks the most like Macri?
I mean, it really does. And I swear to you, I looked up at the screen and did a double take and went, oh, my God.
He's got a lot more salt in his beard.
Yeah,
he does. I'm full pepper.
I tell you what, though, if he got the Grecian out, it'd look just like you.
I look like Franco Harris compared to that guy.
Seriously, you need some rims like that.
I look like Walt Frazier. Is that what you're saying, yeah. Walt Frazier?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, that is really close. That is almost as good as Pac and Cabrera. Dude, really? That is totally you. That's totally you.
I got to hit the gym after this, man.
Moises Llorens, is that right?
Llorens.
Moises Llorens. part of Pedro Ramos's Isubanda. Jorge Ramos Isubanda.
From Barcelona.
This is our banda right here. Virginia Pep Band.
Thanks to Scott Satterfield, Paige Madden, Jordan Cornette, Danny Hall, Brian Ives, and Jorge Ramos's Isubanda.
It was fun while it lasted, boys.
What are you saying?
I'll be here tomorrow.
It's a filling. It's a cavity.
Drooling. They're going to find something else. I know how it works.
Yeah.
Come back here in a sling.
You're going to have a cleaning tomorrow. Full night of ladies basketball coming up on ACC Network starting at 6. We'll see you here at 7 tomorrow morning.
Adios.
For Mark Packer and our great crew, West Durham. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you in the morning.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.